stop and praise him a few minutes. We'll wait up, maybe we'll be done all that. Let's just come to that. Help me lift up the name of Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. There's none like you, Jesus.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
What's happening, folks? What's happening? What's happening? We're changing the atmosphere. We're changing the atmosphere. The atmosphere is changing.
Jesus.
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 Jesus. So you can change the atmosphere in your home. You can change atmospheres on your job. You can change atmospheres in church by bringing in, by lifting up Jesus. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 19. Got a revelation on the way home. I'll share it with you in just a little bit. I don't know about nobody else, but I like it when I get revelations.
Yeah, amen.
I don't know if y'all paid any attention to it, but the things that we have showing on that slideshow item that's usually out here in the foyer, most of those came from revelations.
Yes, amen.
Most of those came from revelation from the Lord. Some of them in here on Sunday morning, most of them on Wednesday night. Different things that we would catch, and I'd tell Holly, I said, we need to write that down. We need to write that down. On the way home today, I spoke something out and I told Sandy, I said, we need to write that down. Mm-hmm. You know, if the Lord is good enough to speak it so that we can hear it or give the inspiration for it, we're at least be smart enough to try to retain it.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 19, starting verse number 28. This is an account that we've heard many times in church. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass that when he came nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never a man sat, loosing and bring him hither. If any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Ye shall say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon, And as he went, they spread their coats or their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Pray with me. Father, I ask that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we would know what's the hope of your calling and what's the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints and what's the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe. According to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in heavenly places. And ask that you grant us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, so that we'd be filled with all the fullness of God. Holy Spirit, I ask you for divine utterance tonight. I ask that you would help me to communicate the heart of the Father to us, your people, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Most of the time when this passage of Scripture is being read and preached out of, all of the focus is on Jesus. And I felt impressed. This is the way that it came to me. That this was a message, because it's known in the church world as the triumphal entry. But I'm going to present it again in a way that a lot of times when we hear this word, it makes a lot of people almost refuse to want to do it, because they don't understand how the kingdom of God operates. They think when they hear the word surrender that they're losing something. But one of the laws of the kingdom is the law of the measure. And the way that we measure something out is the way that it will be measured back to us. Here's another law. Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, the one that's the greatest in the kingdom of God is the servant. It's not the master, it's the servant. And we're going to catch this in each one of these here examples that we're going to go over this morning. And tonight that we went over this morning. Thank you. And Ronnie had told me before we left church this morning, he said there was another one that had to surrender. I said I knew there were going to be more, but I had three that I was working with. See, God's always got more in something. We may think that we have plumbed the depth of the truths from God's word, but he's got more. He's always got more. Now, here was my revelation that I got this morning. I was telling on our way from church this morning, there a lot of times I speak something out. And I told Sandy, I said, we need to write that down. Here was the revelation. You have to surrender to the will of God in order to receive the greater of God. Would you like to hear that again? You have to surrender to the will of God in order to receive the greater of God. I want to say it again because it just sounds good. It just blesses me when I hear it. You have to surrender to the will of God in order to receive the greater of God. Brother Hagin shared something one time. He said his mother-in-law was sick, and the Holy Spirit had spoke through him. He said, if you go down to that altar at the Full Gospel Church, I'll heal you. That night she was at the altar of that Full Gospel Church. Why did she have to do that? There was a place of surrender. Because she said something in earlier years. She said, you'll never find me at the altar of one of them Holy Ghost or one of them Full Gospel churches. See, a lot of times we're trapped by our own words and by our own thoughts. And think, I don't have to do that to go on with God. You don't have to unless he tells you that that's what you got to do. And it might you say, well, that everybody else does. He ain't talking to everybody else. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. So, as much as we are a collective group of people, we're also made up of individuals. And we've all had our own hang-ups, and we've all had our own issues and things that we have to work through and deal with. So you can't always look at somebody else and say, well, they don't have to do it. I ain't going to have to do it. But if the Spirit of God speaks to you and says that that's the way, in this particular case, and in most cases, that probably wouldn't be the way that the healing would have to come about. But for her, it was. But not only did she get healed, I think she got filled with the Holy Ghost at the same time. See, there's something about surrendering to God. And in the natural human mind, we think it's base and degrading. But it's the way up. See, the larger places that God has for us to walk into, I heard this prophecy one time. The larger places that God has for us to walk into, the doorway into it is smaller than we are. Let that one soak a minute. The doorway into it is smaller than we are. There's a word that go hand in hand with that, and that is surrender and humble. Surrender and humble to get into these larger places. How many of us in here want more of God than what we've got right now?
Amen.
Or are you just satisfied with what you got? I know there's more to offer, and I want more of Him. I don't want to sell myself short because He is glorified when we bear much fruit. How many satisfied with just the amount of fruit that you're bearing right now? If He's glorified when we bear much fruit and I'm not bearing much fruit, He's not getting much glory. Amen? But if I want Him glorified, I humble myself before Him. Humble yourself under the hand of Almighty God and He'll exalt you. In due time. He will be the one who lifts you up. So it came to me with these passages of scripture like this. Jesus speaks to two of his disciples. He's got more than two. In fact, here in this particular text, it talks about a multitude of disciples. That's 12 plus. But He speaks to two of them, and he tells them, he gives them a direction, an order, a command. He says, go to this city. You will find a colt tied that no one has ever ridden on. Bring him to me. I've got a purpose for him. If anybody asks you what you're doing, say, the Lord hath need of him.
And a lot of times, see, there's a flow of faith that works, and you can tell when someone is in faith because they are ready to do anything that they're asked to do pertaining to the kingdom of God, because they just want to do something for God. It really doesn't matter. When we've got to be coaxed into doing something, talked into do it, persuaded to do it, we ain't operating in much of a level of faith. We might think that we are, but we're really not. Because faith is always ready to do at the Master's beckoning call. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Whatever he asks, I'm yours to command. So he speaks to these two disciples, tells them in a few words just what to do. They don't ask a whole lot of questions. They just go and follow after. See, there's something that's proven out. As we walk with the Lord, we learn to know his voice. We learn to know his direction. We learn to know how he operates. And we learn to place a trust in him when he speaks something. That we don't second guess it. We just take when he says it and we just go do it. So these disciples don't give Jesus any grief at all about it, because they're men of faith. And they take and they go toward that city. Then they might have some questions and they might talk to each other. I wonder what color that donkey is. I wonder what that house looks like. Will we know it when we get there? I guarantee you there was a something on the inside that they knew that they were going to find. Just like Jesus said. How do we prove stuff like this? By walking it out. By listening to his voice and obeying him. And when we obey him, there's always... See, God's always got a reward when we listen to him. This is not in our text, but I'm going to use it for an example. When Jesus asked Peter, who had fished all night, if he could use his boat, Jesus gets in his boat and starts preaching. After he finishes preaching, he tells him to go out a little bit deeper and cast his nets out. See, there's a principle that's here that many times that goes right on over our head. If God asks you to do something and we do it with a willing heart, and obedient. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. And Peter says, Lord, we fished all night, but at your command, I'll do what you say. So he lets him use his boat. He goes, pushes out. When he gets out, they throw the nets over, and they caught more fish than he's ever caught at one time in his life. We will never act in obedience to God for something that he's asked us to do that we will not be rewarded back for it. He's not a cheapskate. He's not a tightwad. He's a loving father and caring father. And when he asks us to surrender to something that he's asking us to do, there's also always a reward on the end of it. These two men will be remembered every time that this story is told of the two men that use their faith in the words of Jesus to go into that city and to get that colt, and to bring it to Jesus. Ronnie said there was another man that was that had to surrender. And I asked him, I said, who was it? He said it was the man that owned the colt. The man that owned the colt, he said, what are y'all doing? Why are you loosening the colt? And they said, the master hath need of him. And those few words right there, the master hath need of him. Six words. And he surrendered to the will of God. Because God had a higher use for that animal than he did. Now, he got his animal back. I'm 100% positive that. But here's the thing that I'm not positive about, but I think. There ain't no telling how much there was an increase in his herd.
Yes, amen.
And how many more donkeys
yes.
that he got right after that by that act of an obedience. Because that act of obedience always paves the way for something else that's greater.
Amen.
I love what Brother Smith used to say. Lynn, you and Johnny will remember this. He said, you can't outgive God. He's got a bigger shovel. So in their act of obedience, these two disciples would be blessed. In their act of obedience, this donkey owner would be blessed. And they take and they bring that colt back to Jesus. And when they get there to where Jesus is, they take and put garments on the colt and then pick Jesus up and put him on that colt. There was a scripture in Isaiah that I think would help draw our attention to this. When it painting a picture of that Jesus bore and he carried. And that is this. Jesus didn't just crawl on the donkey. They picked Jesus up and put him on the donkey. They bore him up and put him on the donkey. And then the donkey carried him. There's a picture there that Jesus bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Jesus bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He bore our sicknesses. If you look into Hebrew, it says this. He bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. He bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. So just as they picked up Jesus and put him on that donkey, God placed those sickness and diseases and sins on Jesus.
Yes. Thank you.
And he bore them.
Yes.
Just like that they picked that Jesus up and put him on that donkey.
Jesus, praise the Lord.
And then that donkey carried him. Those sicknesses and diseases and sins were placed on Jesus. And he carried them. He was a picture of the beast of burden. He didn't carry these things because they belonged to him. He carried them because they belonged to us. See, he made that triumphal entry not for Jesus. He made that triumphal entry for us.
Amen.
He was already the king. He was already the Son of God.
Hallelujah.
He was already the Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one. Everything that Jesus did, he did for us.
Amen.
A lot of times that stuff goes right on over our head because we think that he did it for Jesus. If it wasn't for us, he could have stayed right in heaven and never had to change his position. But he changed his position for us. He changed his position for us. So that colt, that donkey's baby, that no one had ever ridden on before, will go out every time that this story is told. That was the donkey. It's not the only donkey, but that was the donkey. That was the one that carried Jesus. I believe all throughout eternity, people will be talking about that donkey that carried Jesus.
That donkey was blessed.
That donkey was blessed. And the owner of that donkey was blessed. Can you imagine the privilege to carry the Son of God?
Yes, praise the
Lord. See, Mary was chosen to carry the Son of God.
Thank you.
Joseph was called to parent or father the Son of God.
Thank you, Lord.
This donkey,
thank you, Lord,
was chosen. It wasn't just anyone, it was this specific one. Now, I want you to see yourself in this equation, because just as unique as these two men were, the disciples, just as unique as that donkey was, just as unique as that donkey owner was, you are unique to the plan of God. Mm-hmm. And He's got something specific that He wants you to be remembered for. Mm-hmm. And that thing is going to take you into the greater places of God. But to get in those greater places of God takes a place of surrender. These two men had to surrender to what Jesus had asked them to do. This donkey owner had to surrender to what the plan of God was. This donkey, which no one had ever ridden on. That's amazing to me. Because most animals that aren't broke aren't trained, aren't submitted. You got a fight on your hands when you put somebody on their back. And I told you this morning, we had a bunch of horses when we was growing up, and they was crazy. We had some crazy horses. It weren't the ones, the Indians, it was the crazy horses that was on the Amherst Road.
I just saw something.
What you
said? Even
see?
The donkey had to bow to the Son of God.
Hallelujah. He had to humble himself. Had to humble himself to fulfill the call of God that was on his life. So, here we have this donkey that's never been ridden before. He humbles himself for the purpose of God.
Yes, amen.
For the purpose of God. But that's not the only one who had, that's not the only three so far that had to humble themselves to the plan of God or to surrender to the plan of God. Jesus himself had to humble himself to the plan of God.
Amen.
See, Jesus was a flesh and bone man, just like what we are. Flesh and blood. If you cut Jesus, he would bleed just like this.
Yes.
If you spoke hard words, unkind words to him, they would hurt. But he chose to do something with them. Instead of letting them just stick in him and control him, he chose not to be offended. Jesus did that for us. So Jesus, he will never ask somebody else to do something that he won't do himself. And if he asked the two disciples to surrender, and if he asked the donkey to surrender, and if he asked the donkey owners to surrender, you can mark it down. See, that's the sign of a good leader, a good master. A good leader and a good master will never ask his people to do something that he's not willing to do himself. Because we learn to lead by being servants. It's the way up in the kingdom of God. Jesse Duplantis was talking about the angels and all that were in heaven when he was taken up. And he said, all of the great patriarchs and all that were there, he said, where are they at? He said, they're serving. He said, everybody up here serves. You know, a lot of times we may have some of these here pictures. When I get to heaven, I'm just going to be laying out under the palm branches, and everybody's going to be fanning me and throwing grapes in my mouth and drinking those here cool drink. No, when you get to heaven, you're going to be a servant. And one of the places where we're going to learn to be servants is right here in church on this earth. Because if we're going to walk in the greater things that God has for us, we're going to have to surrender to what he asks us to do. Now, Brent, I'm going to use you for an example just a second. When you first started coming here, and we would be on Wednesday night class, and you were real nervous and shy about that you didn't want to read anything because it wasn't an easy place. I can ask you to read now, and the first thing you do is stick your head in that book and start finding the place to start reading. Because you have surrendered something to God, but look how much he's brought back to you. Way more. Way more. See, there's nothing that God will ask you to do that he won't reward you back many, many, many times over. So don't think that you're being picked on. What's really happening is you're on your way to be promoted. You're on your way to be promoted because the way up is down. Humbling ourselves, surrendering to the will of God. But have you seen people that just fight against the will of God? And it almost drove a bite a nail into than to surrender to God. And you can see the struggle that takes place in them all the time. And if they think that really that God's wanting to get something from them. No, God's trying to get something to them. He's trying to set them free. And the more he tries to set them free, the more they stiffen up. And brothers and sisters, that's a dangerous place. That is a dangerous place when God's trying to do something to promote us and we're always fighting against him. So Jesus himself has to surrender to the plan of God. Just as these other three had to surrender to the plan of God, he has to surrender. His whole life was a life of surrender. He said these words. He said, I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what I hear my Father say. You say, well, why didn't you embellish that and say more? Because that was all that needed to be said. Just like when he gave his disciples the direction on how to find that donkey. And if they were asked a question, don't try to go beyond what God says. Just say what God says and leave it alone. But a lot of times we got to defend our own self and make our own way. No, that's something that we've not learned yet, that you don't have to defend yourself. Jesus, when he was confronted, didn't defend his own self, but the Father defended him. Amen? So, Jesus submits, he surrenders to them picking him up. He's not like one of them that would say, I remember how our youngins were when they were little, and say, let me help you do that. Here was their answer. I do it myself. And a lot of times, this attitude carries on further in life. I do it myself. I'm a self-made person. I do it myself. But the way up in the kingdom of God is to surrender. And the life of victory is not lived out in your strength. It's lived out in the strength of the Son of God. So many people struggle so much because they're just trying to live it. And it's a hard life to live if you're just trying to live out a godly life in the flesh. and not surrendered to the Spirit and not surrendered to the will of God, then you're trying the one who's pulling all the load. But Jesus bore and Jesus carried. Just as that Jesus, when he was on his way into the city, and it wasn't any effort for him because that donkey was carrying the load. And as we walk with Jesus, he's carrying the load. He's carrying the load. So, Jesus humbles himself because he knows this is the will of God. And they pick him up, even though he's capable of getting on that donkey all by himself. They pick him up and they place him on that donkey. They honor him by covering the donkey with the garment. And then they lead him toward his destination. But as he's being led toward his destination, they honor him again. They start taking their clothes and throwing them down. They don't have, in this account, we don't have anything about palm branches. In other accounts, we do. That they took, and if they didn't have clothing, they took and laid palm branches down. What were they doing? They were paving the way. They were paving the way for the Son of God to be brought into the city. How good are we at paving the way for Jesus to get into the places that he wants to get into? How good are we at honoring him and bringing glory to him? How many of us would take and lay our coat down on the donkey, or even less, to lay it down for the donkey to walk on? Ain't nobody walking on my stuff. Peter said to Jesus, he said, "You ain't washing my feet." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, I don't have no part of you." He said, "Don't just wash my feet, wash me all over." You catch the heart? He was bringing glory. In order to receive honor from God, we have to bring glory to him. And Jesus, each one of these cases were people and animals that were surrendering to the plan of God. And through their act of obedience, through their act of surrender, you say, "Well, I don't understand it." You don't have to understand everything. Just do what he asked you to do. And as he asks us, that's part of what faith is. When he asks us to do something that we trust him enough that we just say, "Okay, whatever you say, I'm ready to do it." And not be like one of the hard heads and hard hearts that just got to sit there and debate with him. You know, "Are you sure you want me to do this?" And if he was to ask Jesus, say, "Are you sure you want me to do this?" He said, if I didn't want you to do this, I wouldn't have asked you to do it. If I didn't think you could do this, I wouldn't have asked you to do it. I wanted you two to go. There's 10 more I could have chosen, but I asked you two to go." This wasn't the only donkey that there was in around. But this was the one that Jesus wanted. This was the one that the Father had prepared for the job. Are you as important as a donkey? I believe you are. I believe you're much more valuable than a donkey. And God's got a plan for your life. And he wants that plan to be fulfilled. So Jesus surrendered to it because when we honor the one that God has sent, we honor God. When we honor the one that God has sent, we honor God. These disciples were honored. The donkey was honored. The donkey owner was honored. Oh, don't forget Jesus. It didn't seem like it was all about him, but it was all about him. Because every one of these acts of honor brought glory to him. And each one of these acts of honor bestowed something on Jesus that everyone cried out, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Does it matter? Yes, it matters. It took all of these here preparations of the ones that seemed to be insignificant to make the plan of God work.
Yes. Amen.
You're part of that plan. I'm part of that plan. But everybody won't understand the plan. Everybody won't understand the plan because we have the account of the Pharisees that was there in the crowd. And everybody else crying out, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But they were there to find fault. They weren't there to bring praise. They weren't there to bring honor. They weren't there to bring glory. They were there to pick it apart and to find out what was wrong with it. And they say to him, you need to rebuke your disciples. And Jesus says, if they don't praise me, even the rocks will cry out. You want a rock crying out for you, taking your place? Now, I had shared this morning that I had heard this from a fellow that was an Old Testament scholar. And they said that in that area where Jesus was, where the triumphal entry was being done, was a rocky area, and there were graves all scattered through it. And he said, the literal would say this, that if these don't praise me, when they said the rocks will cry out, the ones that were buried in the rocks would be raised from the dead and lift their voice. Now, how do you think that would shake things up? If you were here praising the Lord and you look around and you hear a voice say, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and they're louder than you are. Because they've just been raised from the dead. But they got a voice that's bringing glory to God. So whether you want to take it that way, that he would raise up somebody from the dead, and I know anything that you've not heard before, a lot of times it's hard to embrace that. You say, it's easier for me to believe that a rock. I'm going to tell you what, whether the rock cries out, or whether God raises somebody up from the dead and they cry out, both of it is the power of God at work. Amen?
Amen.
And we need to give glory to God. Don't let no rock outpraise you. Don't let no dead man outpraise you. And if that's what you need to do, because that praising is also an avenue of faith. I want to share one other thing that has absolutely nothing to do with it, but it could have all to do with it. I heard somebody preaching the other day, and they said that when their son preaches, he says these here words. He says, encouraging people, said, you need to practice healing. And he said, she said she loves that when she hears that. Well, every mother would love to hear what their son was saying something, but we need to catch what he's saying. Here's one way of practicing healing. This is why I've had encouraged us to
to learn these scriptures, to meditate on these scriptures, to write these scriptures down, to get these scriptures in our hearts. Now, before I go any farther, I'm going to ask three questions. What are the three main scriptures that I use on consecutive basis to remind us of the healing power of God? Give me one.
Himself took.
Matthew 8, 17.
Let's get on the same page. Matthew 8, 17. What's that say? Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. You can't expect Matthew 8, 17 to work for you if you can't even tell me what it says. True? That's like having penicillin in the cabinet and not in you. You may have the doctor's prescription, but if you don't get that prescription in you, you're still going to stay sick. And if Matthew 8, 17 is one of the healing scriptures that paints the picture of Jesus, it would be well for me to practice healing. And one of the ways of practicing healing is to say what he says about me. So if it says that he did this, I need to be meditating on that. And that needs to be able to roll out of my mouth. It needs to be planted deep in my heart. What's another one?
By his stripes I'm healed.
Do you know where that one is?
1 Peter 2:24.
The latter part of that verse it says, and by his stripes we were healed. So one of the ways of practicing healing would be to repeat, to get it ingrained in us, that by his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. I feel so bad. By his stripes, I'm healed. What am I doing? I'm renewing my mind to the Word of God. It might be a new concept, but it should be a new concept. I've preached on it for years. But it needs to be practiced. Anybody know what the other one is?
Bore our sickness and carried our pains.
That he bore our sicknesses and he carried our pains, and by his stripes, we're healed. Yeah, but you just don't know how I feel. Well, you just don't know what the Word of God says. You don't know how I feel. You don't know what the Word of God says. Brothers and sisters, we need to practice these things in the good times. If you put them in your heart in the good times, they'll come out of your mouth in the bad times. But if you don't put any of them in it, your best bet's going to be the doctor. Because you ain't done nothing to help yourself. And they said, well, what if I'm not sick right now? How do I practice healing? You thank God for your health. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you because praise is a flow of faith. Amen?
Amen.
What's that got to do with this lesson tonight? Surrendering to the plan of God for you. And you will have to surrender yourself and your thoughts and your mind to the Word of God in order to have the Word of God to work in our lives. But when you do, I believe it's going to pay great dividends. Because you can't give to God without Him giving back to you more, because He's got a bigger shovel. And just as they took their coats and lay down before Jesus and honored him, there's no greater honor than to honor God by telling him what his word says, or being in agreement with him with what his word says. That's good preaching right there, whether we catch it or not. I'm going to leave us with this
thought right here. You have to surrender to the will of God. How many know that the will of God is the Word of God, and the Word of God is the will of God? So, we have to surrender to the will of God in order to receive the greater of God. Stand with me. Excuse that just a moment. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to your name.
Hallelujah.
Father, it's been an honor for me to lift up Jesus tonight. It's been an honor for me to lift up your word. And I lay all of that at your feet, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege. And I thank you, Lord, for your healing power. Your lifting power.
Yes.
Your redeeming power.
Yes,
your delivering power.
Thank you, Lord.
Working in our lives.
Yes.
I plead the blood of Jesus over each and every one here. I want you all to reach your hands out toward Lynn and Johnny.
Hallelujah.
They're going to be hauling off. They're going to be going with a big crowd of people.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Let's believe.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, I ask that you bless them with safety.
Yes, Lord.
That it would just be such a time of connecting.
Yes.
So refreshing. And I plead the blood of Jesus, yes, your protection over them.
Yes.
Station your angels round about them. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.